Verse 2. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, "Now separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them." Then having fasted and prayed and laid hands on them, they sent them away. So, being sent out by the Holy Spirit, they went down to Seleucia, and from there they sailed to Cyprus. Seleucia was a port. So they went there, they got on board a ship, and they sailed to Cyprus, an island. And when they arrived in Salamis, which is a city on that island, they preached the word of God in the synagogues of the Jews. They also had John Mark, as their assistant. Now, when they had gone through the island to Paphos, on the other side of the island, they found a certain sorcerer, a false prophet, a Jew whose name was Bar-Jesus, who was with the proconsul, which is like the governor, Sergius Paulus, an intelligent man. This man, Sergius Paulus, called for Barnabas and Saul and sought to hear the word of God. But Elymas the sorcerer, for so his name is translated, withstood them, seeking to turn the proconsul away from the faith. Then Saul, who was also called Paul, filled with the Holy Spirit, looked intently at him and said, "Oh, full of all deceit and all fraud, you son of the devil, you enemy of all righteousness, will you not cease perverting the straight ways of the Lord? And now indeed the hand of the Lord is upon you, and you shall be blind, not seeing the sun for a time." And immediately a dark mist fell upon him, and he went around seeking someone to lead him by the hand. Then the proconsul believed when he saw what had been done, being astonished at the teaching of the Lord. Wow. That's something you see every day, man. That's something that Peter Wagner would call a power encounter. Say that with me. Power encounter. Literally, a showdown between the Spirit of God and the spirit of the enemy, working through these men. A power encounter. It is where God demonstrates His power over the kingdom of darkness through His people, through the church. God uses the church who are building His kingdom. God uses the church to demonstrate God's sovereign, complete power over the kingdom of darkness, over the enemy. The enemy stole it from Adam back in the beginning. Jesus Christ has regained it, and God is using His church to reestablish His kingdom in the world and to demonstrate God's victory over the powers of darkness. I want to be used that way. Sign me up, brother. Now, there's several elements to the story. But, you know, they say, you know, rather than trying to just, you know, bore people to tears with, you know, five dozen different points, they say if you're going to do a teaching, you got to be able to sum up the passage in one sentence. I would even encourage you guys, if you're going to study the Bible, whatever passage you're studying, just make it a point to try to sum up what you're reading in one sentence. You'll be surprised how much clearer things become. So as I was looking at this passage and wrestling with all these various issues and trying to come up with one succinct statement that really said what was happening here, this is what I came up with, humbly. I believe this passage says that prayer and fasting for those who are sent brings doom to the devil and men to repent. I can remember that. I can put that in my pocket and carry that thing around and remember that. I think you guys too could too. You want to try saying it with me? Pray. Yes, sing it. You sing it, Leomar. Ready? Here we go. Prayer and fasting for those who are sent brings doom to the devil and men to repent. Praise God. Give yourself a hand. Very good. Yeah. I would like to hope that you guys are going to have that memorized by the time this session is over. In fact, we're going to break it down, y'all, and we're going to take this one point at a time. Yo, Jesus, break it down. You know what I'm saying? We're going to break this down one point at a time so that by the time we get through this, you will have this in your pocket and you will remember it for those situations in which Satan opposes you as you try to do the work of God. So, number one, prayer and fasting. Prayer and fasting. This refers to a time of preparation. This is so critical. We just can't go out here, run out the house, and encounter the enemy, expect to have some kind of measure of success if we are not prepared to encounter him. Preparation, prayer, and fasting. It's a time of interaction with God, giving to the Lord and receiving from the Lord in exchange. Now, if we go back to verses 1 to 3, the start of this passage, you'll see it says there's five leaders in Antioch that were prophets and teachers. There was Barnabas, Simeon, Lucius, Manaen, and Paul. And it says that these guys were ministering to the Lord. What in the world does that mean? They were ministering to the Lord. How do you give to a God who already has everything? You know, it's kind of like my dad. You know, you want to buy him a Christmas present, but he's got everything and everything else he doesn't want. You know, what do you do? How do you minister to the Lord who is completely at peace within himself and self-sufficient, the great self-existent I am, the creator of the universe? How in the world can a little putz like me, a little dude from Denton, minister to the Lord? Well, if you break it down, you look at this word minister, it's a Greek word that's basically is called liturgeo or liturgeos. And we get an English word from that, which, if anybody can guess it, liturgy. Yes. Literally means acts of service, particularly a religious service. In the Greek Old Testament, that word is used to refer to, in Hebrews, actually, it's referred to use to priests who are offering sacrifices to God, killing animals as a sacrifice, you know, the Passover lamb and things like that. But in the New Testament, this would be spiritual sacrifices. You don't have to go out and kill your lamb or kill your cat or your dog or anything like that. These are, yeah, God forbid. These are spiritual sacrifices that we do that minister to the Lord. Let's see if we can get a list real quick. What would be some spiritual sacrifices that we can offer to God? Anybody? Worship, absolutely. Prayer, absolutely. Thanksgiving, yes, sir. Praise, yes, absolutely. Praise, thanksgiving, worship, prayer. What else? Something mentioned in this passage twice. Fasting, that's right, when you fast to the Lord. It doesn't do much for you. You might not feel like it's doing a lot for you, but it's doing something for Him. It's doing something for your relationship with Him. Actually, it does do a lot for your attitude. It's great. What else? Something we did for about 45 minutes this morning. Singing, yes, worship, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. A lot of different things. Offerings, yes, giving offerings, you know, whether that's in church or to someone else. How about what we did over here? Communion, the Lord's Supper. These are all acts of service that minister to the Lord, acts of spiritual service, spiritual sacrifices. That's the kind of things these guys were doing. They were praying. They were worshiping. They were thanking God. They were interceding. They were celebrating the Lord's Supper. They were fasting. They were doing ministry as unto the Lord. And it's in those times of devotion. That's a good word to describe it. In that devotional time, there was a sense of giving to the Lord and a sense of receiving. And as they were able to do that, they were able to really discern the voice of the Holy Spirit clearly when He said, "Now separate Barnabas and Saul for the work that I have called them to." That's how they were able to discern the voice of the Lord. Now, it can also include acts of service to others, spiritual sacrifices that you do to others as unto the Lord. In fact, getting back on track here, in the Greek Old Testament, the word, and it talks about the angels, they are referred to as ministers. I think we got a couple examples up there. His angels, His ministers, His angel spirit, His ministers, a flame of fire. In the Greek Old Testament, that word ministers comes from the same root word, liturgeos. So we see these angels who do the word of the Lord, who excel in strength, who do his word, heeding the voice of his word when he sends them out, and they go and they do things to other people for the Lord. That's ministry unto the Lord. So when we do that, when we offer spiritual sacrifices by blessing somebody, if I come up to Leomar and I give her a ham sandwich, I'm like, Leomar, I felt like giving you this ham sandwich in the Lord. That's ministering unto the Lord. You know, if I go over to Jenny's house and you know, she's, you know, I just paint the living room or something, you know, that's...
Will you?
Sure. I'd love to paint your living room, but you got to take it the way I paint it. You saw what I did in the Sunday school room. How do you like VeggieTales? When you do that as an offering unto the Lord, when you offer service to other people as unto the Lord, that ministers to him. And he is blessed by that. He enjoys that. He takes pleasure in that. And as we do that, as we follow the leading of the Holy Spirit that in ways he calls us to bless other people, we learn to discern his voice. Amen? You know, it's subtle, the Holy Spirit's voice. Sometimes it's more urgent than others, but sometimes it is that still small voice. And oftentimes you'll hear yourself saying, was that you, God? Was that really you? Was that a thought in my head, or was that really the Holy Spirit urging me to do that? And as you yield to that still small voice, you'll find, wow, that really is God. I think I'll yield more often. And we become very sensitive to his voice at that point.